This morning comes from the prophet Isaiah's book, Isaiah chapter 60, the first six verses. The prophet or his disciple shares with us words that you will hear echoed in our New Testament lesson. Listen now for the word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Continuing on with our New Testament lesson this morning is from Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. Hear again God's word for us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together his chief priests and scribes, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah born?" And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may too pay homage to him." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went home by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, open our minds and our ears to hear what you would have us hear. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Well, we have a slide up there. Sorry, only one slide is working this morning, and that is Leonardo da Vinci's Adoration of the Magi. He was commissioned to paint this in 1480 at a monastery near Florence, Italy. He agreed to paint it within about 2.5 years. He said it'll take about 2.5 years. However, in less than that time, Leonardo up and left Florence. Left for Milan, distracted by the prospect of something better, a better job, a better lifestyle, more money. Leonardo, as you can tell from the background that's pale and faded, Leonardo never finished this painting. Well, if you're like Leonardo da Vinci and me, you too have unfinished projects and obligations, things that have been left undone. Haven't we all said, oh, I'll get to that job after Christmas, or I'll get around to it in the new year? Well, guess what? It's here. We're in the new year. Thankfully, the Magi, or as we know them, the wise men, didn't leave their job undone. Their job was to find the newborn king the scriptures predicted. Their job was to follow where God leads, not knowing exactly where that was, but to whom it was, the Messiah. Now, some scholars say it took them as long as 2 years to make it to Jesus' side. 2 years without GPS, or a car, or a bicycle. That's a lot of walking. They didn't even have good shoes then, no comfort shoes. So on top of that daunting task, the wise men were being manipulated by the powerful leader Herod, who tricked them into doing his grunt work. Yep, he said, find Jesus. But Herod wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus and destroy any threat to Herod's reign. And we know this. I see some confirmation students out there. We know, don't we, Ruthie, that Herod was a nasty guy. It was not uncommon for him to manipulate people or even to execute them if he didn't like them. Well, despite the obstacles before them, the wise men persisted in their journey. And finally, when they came face to face with the Son of God, they knelt and worshiped him. The scripture said they were overwhelmed with joy. Yes, they are known for giving Jesus extravagant gifts, but to me, it's not the worth of the gifts that is notable. Rather, it is the fact that the gifts are a reflection of their hearts. That was so lavish, wasn't it? Their hearts. That's why they gave Jesus their best. Yes, even though Jesus was just a little tyke, these guys knew, even then, that Jesus was their gift from God to them. I suppose that's one reason these fellows are called wise. They get it. Do we? I mean, I wonder, are we on that journey that seeks to worship and honor Jesus, that journey that ends with being overwhelmed by joy? Or are we easily distracted, you know, kind of getting lost along the way? Right now, in America, distraction is a big issue. We've heard for years how dangerous distracted driving is, but this year, distracted walking became a bona fide category as noted by the National Safety Council. Really? Distracted walking? Okay, whatever. But I shouldn't laugh at that because I know all about distraction firsthand. And you will hold me to it when you see me walking into walls around this church, which I sometimes do. But last month, before my son Ben came home for Christmas, he got a letter from a Virginia lawyer addressed to him, but at our home, rather than where he lives in North Carolina. Now, let me give you a little background on Ben. He's 23, and he's a classically trained musician and performed in places like Carnegie Hall and Lincoln Center and places like that. So that's Ben. He likes his music. Curious, I went ahead, and I opened this letter from the lawyer. And the lawyer advised Ben how serious this charge was and that it could stick to his record for 11 years. And that's why Ben should hire this lawyer to help him through the Virginia court system. Well, you can imagine, I went nuts. What did Ben do now? Ah! And so my husband, who has a lot calmer demeanor than I do, of course, most everyone has a lot calmer demeanor than I do, called Ben, and after about talking with some general stuff, he mentioned, hey, Ben, we got a letter from the lawyer. Ben said, yeah, Dad, I know. I was driving home at Thanksgiving from Grandma's. You know, my mom lives in Virginia, from Grandma's, and I got caught speeding on the highway. And my husband said, but Ben, this ticket is for reckless driving. It's not for speeding. Ben said, Dad, I've looked into it. Virginia is the only state in the union that bumps a speeding ticket beyond a certain speed to reckless driving. And my husband said, well, that explains it, but oh my golly, that's going to cost you a lot of money. He said, you, but really, you know who's going to be paying for the insurance. And so my husband said, Ben, how did you let this happen? And this is where Ben got agitated. He goes, oh, this is the worst part. I was listening to the radio when, of all things, the Carpenters came on. The Carpenters. And he goes, Dad, I turned up the radio, I started singing along, and I wasn't paying any attention. The next thing I knew, there was a flashing light in my rearview mirror. He said, Dad, I'm getting a reckless driving ticket for the Carpenters. Oh, yes, distraction can be costly, but not just in terms of money, though we're finding that can be costly too. But distraction can be costly in terms of joy, in terms of purpose and priorities, and all the things that give life its richest meaning. How easily we get distracted from what is most important to us. How easily we can get distracted from what God is calling us to do, from how God is calling us to be. Have you thought about that? Have you prayed about this in this new year? What is it God wants you to do? How is it God wants you to be? Yes, it is so easy to get distracted on our journey to Jesus. Distraction. That is once again why we here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, the staff, is asking everyone to consider using one word to help you focus on your journey to Jesus. One word as your spiritual touchstone for 2016. It's simple, really. Rather than planning goals or writing mission statements in which we try to seek our own outcomes, we choose a word, just one word, to help our faith focus, and then we let God do the rest. Indeed, the more words we try to follow, the easier it is to be distracted. So we ground ourselves every day by returning to that one word and seeing how God is calling us through that. Just one word. This year, my word is bless. I considered breathe and look and peace and enjoy, but eventually I settled on the word bless. And I chose it, or rather it chose me, because it is what I can both receive and can give on my journey to Jesus. I chose it because when all my myriad words fail, and you know I can say a lot of words, when all those fail, I rely on a prayer I recite over and over and over again. Lord, bless me to be a blessing. It is a prayer about which I rely totally on God, but yet which calls me nonetheless to action. Lord, bless me to be a blessing. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah is often referred to as the prophecy that was fulfilled by the wise men, the story about which we heard in Matthew. But perhaps this message isn't just about the wise men of old. Rather, it applies to all of us. You know, think about this. Isaiah wrote these words to a people who wanted to follow God, to a people who wanted to follow God and be faithful, but yet their faith was being denigrated from all parts of society, just laughed at. And this was a people who hoped in a better future, in God's future. And this was a people who felt a little lonely, a little desperate, clinging to God because there were so many obstacles before them, both personally and nationally. Does that sound a little familiar? What Isaiah is saying is that all of us, all of us who read these words, not just a big star, but we, God's people, are the ones who are called to arise, to shine. For we as Christians know that our light has come. Our light was born at Christmas, and we have been enlightened by him. As many of you know, on Christmas Eve, when we sang Silent Night, it was really dark in the sanctuary. We couldn't see anything. And we had only the Christ candle. But when everyone lit their own candle, you could see clearly. In fact, you could see with a glow on people's faces that you often don't see. And that's how it is when we are called to arise and to shine. We may feel our candle is little, is diminished. It won't amount to much light in this whole world. But when we light them together, there is a glow that cannot be dimmed by the forces of this world. Yes, there are going to be obstacles. There are always going to be people like Herod, power-grabbing and manipulative, people who want to use us for their own gain. That hasn't changed. Even in the new year, that hasn't changed. Yes, there is going to be darkness, so dark that it seems impenetrable. That hasn't changed. Even in the new year, that hasn't changed. That's why, when others are downtrodden, or flat with apathy, or distracted by shiny objects that don't last, or sunk in darkness, we are called to arise, to shine, for we have been blessed, and so we are called to bless. It's what we both receive and what we give on our journey to Jesus. So it's a new year, 2016 already. The journey to Jesus continues for each of us. Will you travel with your focus on the Savior, or will you succumb to various distractions? It's up to you. And recalling not only the Magi's journey, which took two painstaking years, let us also recall Da Vinci's depiction of them. And then we are reminded, here's another word for our vocabulary, we are reminded to persist. The Magi did, Da Vinci got distracted. Persist, persevere in co-creating the masterpiece, which is the life God has created for you. Persevere in making beautiful, in enlightening the soul which God has given to you. Such great gifts, even better than frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Well, I like this picture. I wish you'd finished it. Well, Da Vinci didn't, but I think I will. Oh, I'm not an artist. I'd never graduated beyond finger painting. But still, I have a way that I would interpret how this should be finished. See, I don't know about all the different colors and the pigments of paint and things like that, but I think when the wise men knelt down to pay homage to the baby Jesus, they were overwhelmed with joy. They gave him their gifts, and then they leaned over and whispered in the Savior's ear, "Lord, bless me to be a blessing." And he did. And he will continue to bless each one of us in this new year. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.